Sometimes we go through so many things in life that maybe you're in a high in your life, or maybe you are at a low this morning, that whatever season we are going into or to coming out of, we do so by holding on to God. But sometimes we can question God, specifically in the bad seasons. I don't hear many people questioning God when they go through good times and saying, "Oh God, why is life so good? Please, can it stop?" No. But it's when we go through the lows of life that we reach out and we say, "God, please remove the situation from me. Please, can the season just pass? Can I not go back to the good times?" And when we go through the not so great times of life, we need to know as believers, how do we persevere? How do we face these things? Because maybe our prayers are, when we go through these difficult times, that God, save me from this situation. But my question is this morning, is that what do we do when the situation does not change? What do we do when we've been praying and we've been fasting and the circumstances do not change? And this morning I want to speak on that reality, because it's not always sunshine and roses. Sometimes the difficulties of life hit. And we as believers need to know, how do we handle this? Because the lesson we want to learn coming out of these seasons is that irrespective when it's high or when it's low, God is our center. That we don't only come to God when it's going bad, but that we remain with Him irrespective of where we are in life. Because that is how we are growing, because God is our firm foundation. He's our center. And I want to bring us to a situation in Israel at the time of Jeremiah prophesying. Because Israel went into Babylonian captivity. And they were crying out to God, "God, why did you forsake us? Why did you leave us? Why are we in exile in Babylon amongst all these false gods?" And Nebuchadnezzar is reigning and he's there doing his thing, and it's just not a good place for a Jew to be in Babylon during the season. And they are crying out to God, "Remove us from the situation." That's their heart cry. And then along comes a prophet by the name of Hananiah. And Hananiah says, "Don't worry, Israel. In 2 years, this bad time will be over. You'll be back in Jerusalem and everything will be A-okay. But then the word of the Lord comes through Jeremiah, and he speaks to the people in exile, and he's saying to them, Jeremiah 29 from verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." And in this difficult situation that Israel finds themselves in, their heart cries, "God, please make it stop." And this Hananiah guy prophesying, saying it's only going to last 2 years, and the word of the Lord comes and speaks and says, 70 years is how long you're going to be in this season. But don't worry, because I know the plans I have for you. It's plans to prosper you in the midst of where you are. I plan to prosper you. In the midst of where you are, I plan to grow you. I plan to establish you where you are. And I'm not going to remove you for 70 years. And I think the way we sometimes respond to seasons in life is determined by our worldview. If our worldview is a little bit self-centered, and that life must always be good, because if it's not going good, God is not blessing me, And then we have this worldview, and then when troubled times hit, it causes us to shake our foundations and we don't understand life and how do we get through the season. But if you have a worldview that is centered on God is in control, then we have a different response to things. To say that irrespective of my season, even if it's going to last 70 years, I'm going to glorify God, I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to live my life for Him. Because here's the thing that Israel did not get at that point, is that God is not limited to Jerusalem. He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. He can be worshipped in Babylon, He can be worshipped in Jerusalem. That where they are, they are to grow where they are planted. And sometimes our cries might be that, God, if I can just get out of the season, I will praise You and I'll glorify You and I'll do that and I'll do this for You. If you cannot do it in Babylon, you're not going to do it in Jerusalem. Because it is your heart response, it is what is within that comes out. And if your response is to glorify and honor God in the difficult, you are surely going to do it when it's easy. And I think that's where we as believers need to mature and to grow, to say that God is my firm foundation. I'm going to stand on Him irrespective of what's happening around me. Because if we go back to the beginning, just to give some biblical worldview and overview of the history of Israel, is that when God called Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. That God said, through your offspring, all the nations will be blessed. And God raised up Israel so that everyone around them could be blessed through them. But then they disobeyed God and they did not follow through. And God removed them and took them into exile. But the plan stays the same, is through Israel to bless the nations. Because through Israel came Jesus, the Messiah, who would ultimately fulfill the promise God made to Abraham that through His offspring, Jesus, all nations will be blessed. And in the moment where they are, God reminds them of their identity, that I know the plans I have for you. It's plans to prosper you where you are. And I think this brings comfort, because this is one of those verses. If you walk into any Christian store and you find a nice mug, you will find a mug that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you." And then we buy that mug and we're encouraged by that mug, but we don't understand what God is saying to Israel in that moment. It's an awesome verse, I love it. But it's even more powerful when we understand the context. That rather than looking at the mug and seeing that verse to say, "Oh yeah, God has all these beautiful plans for me," to, I need to grow where I'm planted. Irrespective of my situation, irrespective of where I am, I'm supposed to bear fruit and bear the mark of a Christian. That my surroundings don't determine my character, because I'm rooted and I'm founded in Christ. And that is what God is saying to them. That in the previous chapter that Jeremiah has just pronounced judgment upon the false prophet Hananiah, the one that came and prophesied and said, no, don't worry guys, I'm only going to last 2 years. And God speaks and says, no. Hananiah told the people of God that God would break the yoke of Babylon, freeing the people to return home within 2 years. While his message undoubtedly sounded appealing to people, people liked the message, people liked the flattery of thinking, "Oh, okay, it's only going to be a short time, then we're going to go back to Jerusalem." It was a lie, and it resulted in God removing Hananiah from the face of the earth. And instead, Jeremiah tells the people that they would live in Babylon for at least 70 years. Therefore, they should settle down, they should build houses, they should marry, and they should even pray for peace and prosperity for those around them, so that they can live in peace in Babylon, where they can glorify God. Because guess what will happen? When you remain rooted and founded in Christ, in a God-forsaken place, you will send a message of hope to those around you, so that they can come to know Christ. Isn't that the perspective as believers that we need to focus on? To say, God, this is where you placed me. How am I a blessing to the people around me? How can I pray for them? Because if I'm in a godless situation and I pray for God to enter into this darkness, light will begin to shine and the circumstance will begin to change. So that when we leave that space, we leave people with God. Rather than just going to the next place because it is easier, it is nicer, and we leave the people in the darkness that we found them in without making a kingdom impact. They should settle down and they should pray for peace. And when we understand the context, we discover that Jeremiah 29 was spoken to the people in midst of hardship and suffering. People who were likely desiring rescue, like what was promised by the prophet Liar, but God's response is not to provide an escape from a difficult situation. Rather, God promises that He has a plan to prosper them in the midst of their current situation. And He writes to them to say, build houses and live in them. Settle down amidst the suffering. Settle down amidst this displeasure of life that you are facing. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. So take wives and have sons and daughters. Be fruitful and multiply. And seek the welfare of the city. Pray for Babylon. Pray to the Lord on behalf of Babylon. And do not let prophets and divine deceivers deceive you with promising message that is sugar-coated to sound nice when it is not the Word of God. And the point of this letter is that the people need to settle down in Babylon because they're going to be there for a while. And it even says onward that some will have the opportunity to go back but decide to remain because God is blessing them where they are. Just go and read the book of Esther and see how God just moved in the nation. Just see what God did. How He brought Nebuchadnezzar to his knees because Nebuchadnezzar raised himself to be God and three men stood up against him. They were thrown into a fiery furnace and God delivered them. And through that, people saw the mighty hand of God move. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, he was scared. He wanted to run away, but he went after being thrown off a boat, survived 3 days in the belly of a fish. He went out to Nineveh and he proclaimed repentance. And they repented. And this God-forsaken nation of Nineveh repented and they turned from their ways. It is known that Nineveh was the most violent place to have ever lived. Their war crimes would far outreach any because they were so cruel in how they treated people. And when they heard God's gracious message to them to say, repent, or it's done for you, and they repented and they changed their ways because God brings light into darkness. I mean, we must sympathize a little bit with Jonah in why he fled. He fled for two reasons. He fled, one, because God must save Israel, not Nineveh. Nineveh is the enemy, so why do I want to proclaim the good news so that my enemy gets saved? And secondly, maybe he was fearful because they were a violent nation and God came into the darkest of spaces and sorted them out. They even let the animals fast. Can you imagine that? The whole nation fasted, that they even, the poor cows, they were just there eating grass, and then here comes Jonah proclaiming this message, repent or in 3 days, and they wrap these harsh material around the animals and they fasted as well, the poor animals. But that's how repentful the nation was, is that they just, we don't know how this repentance works, so we're just going to go all out. Even the animals, they must repent with us, because it's that light enters darkness and it overwhelms. And where we are planted, there might be darkness. But God wants to bring the light. Because He said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Not go where it's nice. Not go where they accept you. Go into all the world, where the good, where the bad, whether the workplace, whether the family, whether with friends that are bright that don't know God, go into that space and bring the light. Grow where you are planted. And I know some of you might be facing terrible circumstances, whether it's in family pressures or in the workplace or in relationships. That's just a terrible place to be in. God is bringing His light. And grow where you are planted so that you can bring the light into the darkness. And God gives a promise that I will bless you. I will prosper you where you are planted. Sometimes we want the situation to change, but sometimes God wants us to change within the situation, so that we can move on to the next, having grown and having learned what we had to learn in the difficult season. But it's determined by how do you view the world. Do you view the world that I lay myself down in service to God, that irrespective of where I am in life, I will serve God? Or is it just God, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me some more, God? Or do we change our prayers to say, God, how can I serve you? That's when we know heart changes happen. When we stop praying and asking God for things and start asking God, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? But these words that Jeremiah is speaking is exactly what God said to His people in exile. He encourages them to settle down and live a blessed life. Plant gardens, eat from them. Even then there were false prophets who were preaching and promising quick and easy ways out of exile. And sometimes we want a quick and easy fix out of our desert season or out of Babylon for that sake. And God is saying, no, wait. I know the plans I have for you. Just endure. Just grow. Continue to bear fruit. Be a light for me in the darkness. Be a light for me in the darkness. Because sometimes we miss that question when we are sitting in the darkness because we are so overwhelmed by it. But maybe it is God asking you, will you be a light for me where there is no other light? What is actually best for us is to become good stewards and obedient followers of God. That's God's design for us. That's His purpose for us. Sometimes we want to escape seasons that will bring us the most growth. And we miss out because we are thinking about the end of the season rather than growing through it. As painful as it might be, God brings encouragement in saying He is with us. As painful as it might be, God is with us. So whenever you see that verse on a mug or a bumper sticker or you read it yourself, just know the message is so much deeper. It goes from something out there to something real and raw that God is saying to you, be a light for me in the darkness. Be a light in the darkness. I just want to read Jeremiah, this verse again, and just speak on what we are reading. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promises and bring you back to this place. God is saying He will bring restoration. After the season, He will bring restoration. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We miss the events that unfolded throughout history leading up to the day Jesus was born. We know the 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. We know there was a 400 years of silence. We know prophets said a word. But within those 400 years, God raised our people and united the known world. And at the day Jesus was born, news traveled faster than South African post office. Believe it or not. News traveled so fast. So the day Jesus was born and the angel appeared to the wise men and everyone to say, go and see, for the Messiah was born. The news spread like wildfire. It was the most perfect moment in history for Jesus to be born. And within those 400 years, it might seem, from because we don't have any written text in that time, that God has been silent, but no, He has been busy working, bringing this about, that to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon Me and come and pray to Me, and I will hear you. You will seek Me and find Me. When you seek Me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places for I have where I have driven you, declares the Lord. He's speaking about the day when Jesus will come and be born and live and die on the cross to unite all believers who believe in Jesus as the people of God. That is the promise that we have, that throughout history, it is, we to call it redemptive history. When you read through the Bible, it is God's salvation plan for Jesus to be born that is unfolding in the Old Testament. It's busy unfolding, and then Jesus died, and now we can all have life in Jesus. So that when we come to Jesus, we are His people. We are God's people. We are united back. Wherever we are, wherever we come from, and that's the message of hope, that we have Jesus to hold on to. I mean, when the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm and Jesus was sleeping, for those who don't know the story, Jesus and His disciples, they were busy crossing the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was sleeping in the boat, probably tired from a ministry. And a storm broke out, and the disciples, they were afraid and said, we are going to drown, something's going to happen to us. And Jesus, in the storm, He's sleeping. And they most likely thought to themselves, what on earth? Like, we are going to die, and Jesus is sleeping. And they wake up Jesus, and Jesus just calms the storm. In the storms of life, we forget that Jesus is right there, working out His plan and His purpose for your life. That all we have to do is say, Jesus, and He calms the storm that you are facing, because they were still on the sea. They were not suddenly on dry land. They still had to cross to the other side. But Jesus with them calms the storm. Just so incredible. So how do we endure the difficult seasons of life? I want to give you 3 points. Because I feel 3 points is easy to remember. I could have made it 5 points, but 3 is easy to remember. So one is, continue to build your life and grow in Christ, irrespective of the season you face. Establish a firm foundation. Establish your faith in Christ. Ask God to come and show you through His Word what He wants to do in you and through you. Continue to build your life and grow in Christ, irrespective of where you are. Secondly, is to pray. Pray for the season you are in and pray for the people around you. If there's a person in your life that is causing the storm of chaos, pray for that person's salvation, because the day they become saved, you lose an enemy and you gain a brother. And that is far more worth than anything we can ever endure, is for our enemies to become our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a glorious day in heaven that is when we endure and pray for our enemies, because they become our brothers in Christ. So one, continue to build your life and grow in Christ. Number two, pray for the season you are in and pray for the people around you. And three, do not let prophets and diviners deceive you. You stick to what God is saying to you. You can go and you can search out the people that hear from God. And I'm not saying anything against coming to ask for a prophetic word. You know that when you are in that space and you are looking for the prophet that will tell you exactly what you want to hear, because God has already spoken to you. God has already told you what to do, but you don't like what God is saying. So you go from this a prophetic message to that prophetic message until you hear the one you want to hear. I've been through a season like that where God spoke to me clearly And I went to a few guys and I asked them, speak to me. I need to hear the voice of the Lord. And I got the most discouraging word after word after word after word. Until one day I broke down and I said, God, I'm going to listen to you. And breakthrough came in my spiritual walk with God. Because God already spoke to me, but I didn't like what I was hearing. So I wanted to go to the space where I can hear something that I will like. And God kept silent. Thank God for that He kept silent. Thank God that there was not a prophet liar that came and told me what I wanted to hear. I thank God for that. Because He is my firm foundation. And sometimes we go through things and we don't understand why. But maybe it's because we are not praying and asking God to show us the way. God, speak to me, change me. Because God will in His time do the divine to get you where He is leading you so that you can understand what He's saying to you and that you can grow. Irrespective of where you are, I want to tell you this morning that the day will come. Season will end. Because the season will end. That's how life works. God is with us. God is busy working and the season will end. But the question is, would I have learned and grown what God intended for me to learn and intended for me to grow? Or would I have missed out because I was focused on the other side rather than clinging to God and saying, dear God, help me get through this. How can I be a light in this situation? How can I serve you where I am? Because the moment we begin to think that way and pray that way, we become changed from the inside out because the old has died. The new has come. The old me died in the baptism water the day that I got baptized. And the new me is now living for Christ. And although I'm like a 4-year-old learning to ride a bike and everything's wobbling and falling down a few times, God is there every moment to pick me up and say, I have you by the hand and I will lead you on the right path. I will clean your wounds, I will restore you and I will establish you because God is in control. And it's a scary thing to give control over to God. But it is so worth it. May God bless you and prosper you in the season you're going through. That you be changed and formed to be more like Christ. That you can experience the joy irrespective of the darkness that's around you. Because the day you reach where you can have the joy of the Lord in your heart, irrespective of what's happening around you, that's the day you know that there has been growth. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we can be encouraged by your word, that irrespective of where we are, you are with us. Irrespective of where we are in life, you are Lord. You are King of Kings and you are in control and you are busy working things out for the good of those who love you. Because you know the plans you have for your people. And I pray, Father, this morning that we understand that we have a response to your message, to your word, to say, God, I will be the light in the darkness. Here I am, God, use me. Change me, transform me. And I pray, Father, may you come and do a mighty work in the hearts of your people this morning. May you come and do a mighty work. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. I don't know if you are sitting there and something spoke to you and maybe there's something that you need to say to God in this moment. And I want you to use this moment and just say, God, this is how I'm feeling. This is where I am. It's overwhelming. But God, strengthen me and use me to be a light for you in the darkness. Jesus' mighty name I pray. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. May it go well with your health. May it go well with your soul. May God bring divine healing to your heart and your body, that you may become who God is calling you to be. Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy some coffee. And just have a blessed Sunday. Amen. Amen.